You are on the daily here this morning with myself, Tess Connery, and of course I am going to be kicking it about till 12 midday when Greg Poppleton jumps on and takes over with the Phantom Dancer. Whatever it is you are up to this somewhat rainy Tuesday morning, I do hope you are having a good one. Now, in the wake of the Barnaby Joyce saga, countless undesirable news polls, and a whole heap of other issues, it seems that the Liberal Party is struggling to know what it is and what it wants. So, what does the party stand for at the moment? Well, on the line, we've got Terry Barnes, former senior advisor to the Howard government and a regular contributor to The Spectator. Terry, always good to chat. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Tess. Good morning.
So, you know, it doesn't seem that there's been any real direction, I guess, for the Liberal Party for a little while now. Do you think that there was a particular event that kicked this off, or has this been a long time coming?
I think the particular event was December 2007, Tess, when the Howard government lost office to Kevin Rudd. Really, since then, I think that Liberal Party, as a party of opposition, then a party of government, really hasn't had a central driving purpose to it, other than the classic political one of gaining and holding power. And really, I think voters have seen through that for quite a long time now. That's one of the reasons that the news polls consistently so bad for the Turnbull government were bad for the Abbott government for quite a while before that as well, in the sense that the government is not clearly standing for anything other than being there. It doesn't have a clear economic focus. It doesn't have a clear social focus. It doesn't necessarily uphold the values of its conservative-leaning support base, so both within the Liberal Party and supporters generally. And people are wondering why it's there, what it stands for, what its leaders are all about. And I think Malcolm Turnbull, as Prime Minister, while he's got a lot to offer, hasn't really answered that question, and that's been a big problem for him, and I think it's a big factor behind the 28, 29, 30 news polls.
And speaking of those news polls, I mean, the consensus at the moment, it seems to be to continue to stand with Malcolm Turnbull despite the numerous, I guess, undesirable, would be a way to put it, news poll results. How wise of a move do you think that is?
Well, yes, I think that is right. And frankly, at this stage of this electoral cycle, I think that's the best hope the Liberal Party has got for the future. You can't just simply chop and change leaders yet again. But I think the party itself and the budget probably in May is its last chance to really state a future agenda before the next election, because that's going to be due sometime from the second half of next year on, or this year actually onwards. it's important that if they are going to survive, they just can't rely on people being scared by Bill Shorten, being scared by Labor. And we've seen the Labor putting forward as Sir Humphrey Appleby would say in Yes Minister, some courageous policy in terms of some tax changes that would hurt retirees. So, no, there are opportunities there for the government to capitalise on what Labor does and many mistakes it makes. But really, they have to have a positive, forward-looking agenda for the future that is consistent with traditional Liberal Party, of the age and era of Bob Menzies, values such as smaller government, such as the keeping taxes low, such as the focusing on national security, but also personal freedom. And it's happening at state level as well as federal level, in New South Wales at least, and certainly in other states where Liberals are still in government. But that governments are there, MPs feel that they're elected to govern, and govern means legislating and regulating, and they're very keen to legislate and regulate even if it goes against core Liberal Party values and beliefs. So being in government sometimes actually cancels out the reason why they're in government, and that's something that I think most parties, both on the left and the right, tend to regret when they go into opposition after an election defeat.
And so, we are at this point in the election cycle. The election, the next election is looming on the horizon. Do you think that it's potentially, even with the budget coming up, too late to change the public's perception of the party at the moment?
Well, before Barnaby Joyce erupted, and certainly did he ever erupt, the Turnbull government, the coalition, was showing signs of a recovery in the polls. The first poll of the year actually had them back in a competitive position at 52-48, two-party preferred. But, of course, that went backwards after all with Barnaby Joyce, and I think, again, in the last news poll after Michaelia Cash's outburst in the Senate about Bill Shorten's staff. If they stop shooting themselves in the foot, they actually show that they have a coherent vision for what lies ahead, both economically and on a broader policy front, they can actually make some headway. And Bill Shorten, I think, has opened the door for them today with his tax changes, because that's actually going to hit a significant part of particularly the small investor, the retirees who depend on returns from their investments as part of their income. It's going to hurt them quite hugely. And if they can actually make that case strongly, they can get that across, they've got a reasonable shot, I think, of getting back in the race. But it's all these ifs, tests. They've got to line those ducks up themselves. In the last year or two, they haven't really shown that they've got the political nous to do it.
And it almost does seem that, Bill Shorten and members of the opposition are getting a bit brave, I guess, with, sort of the public perception of the Liberal Party at the moment not being exactly the highest it's ever been.
No, but I think, if I can put it this way, I think all politicians are on the nose. I mean, used car salesmen have got a higher reputation than politicians these days. And I don't think either side of politics covers itself in glory as far as that goes. While the voters see things like, the never-ending politicians' entitlement sagas or unseemly and poor behaviour like that of Michaela Cash in the Senate the other week, they really draw the line about whether politicians really understand what it's like to live in the real world. And frankly, I think too many of them do live in that Canberra bubble or in the Macquarie Street bubble, whatever the case may be, and do get a bit out of touch with you and I have to do in terms of putting food on the table, paying our bills and so forth. So they all collectively sometimes need to get a grip on reality and actually think about what they're doing, how that plays out with the electorate and the public at large. And if they've got something to improve and get right, they really pull their fingers out and do it, because people are simply sick of watching the political class look after itself.
I think that's the most sensible thing I've heard in regards to the political sphere in a while. Terry, do appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolute pleasure, Tess.
That was Terry Barnes, former senior advisor to the Howard government and a regular contributor to The Spectator, having a bit of a chat with us this morning about the existential crisis, I guess you could call it, of the Australian Liberal Party.